World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, I was worried there for a minute. My wife burnt some bacon. We had our smoke alarms going off every down there in our multi-million-dollar studio, but evidently we opened up some windows and blew all that stuff out there. If it starts going again, you have to understand why. As you can see, you got my buddy John Diamond sitting here with me, and this just kind of spur of the moment, off the cuff. John called me and said, "Hey, Coach," he's still working for the JBS. He's a What are you called?
Field coordinator.
Field coordinator for the John Birch Society. But he's still John doing what John does, trying to get people out and understand the Constitution, how we're supposed to follow it. And he said, I'm going to be in the Columbus area. So save him some money. He stayed all night with us last night. And so I said, here we are. Let's do it, man. Let's talk about exactly where we are, what's going on. Look, this is not a full-throated endorsement of the John Birch Society, although I support the John Birch Society. But I said to John and said to somebody before we went live today, where's the fruit, dude? Where's the fruit? Where's the beef? Where's the beef? And, you know, John Birch Society, as John can tell, has been around for a long time. But where's the beef? Where's the beef? And so it'll be a little bit different today because it's not going to be all about what I think, which is what it usually is. We'll get John's opinion on exactly what's going on and what we need to do. And I'm talking in circles here. Apologize for that. I don't know. Did you guys see the big news here? Somebody. are you looking at me? Mercy follows justice. That's scriptural. Spencer, Google that so they don't think I'm lying to them. And one of the problems we have in Christianity, the gospel that we share with people, is we want to tell them how much Jesus loves them without convincing them first and foremost that they're a scoundrel and they deserve death. That's where it has to begin. See, you will never ask for forgiveness if you don't think you did something wrong, right? Hey, y'all did that with your children, didn't you? Made them sit down, made them say they were sorry, even though they didn't want to. They had to learn that they were wrong and they needed to apologize and they needed to repent to their sister, to their niece, to their cousin, whatever. It's all about it. So Christianity has screwed up because we're having technical issues. Spencer's working on it. Don't worry about it. For James 2:13 says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that have shown no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment." Folks, the gospel of the kingdom of God is, by its very nature, judgmental. I don't know why we can't see it, right? To run around and tell everybody how much Jesus loves them without warning them that they're in serious trouble. You're in serious trouble because you are under judgment. Huh? And what's the message of the church? Who are you to judge? Oh, well, don't be so judgmental, brother. When it's the heart of the gospel. You're a sinner. You need a savior. Who determines you're a sinner? The gospel, the kingdom of God. The Bible says you are a sinner. You're in need of all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have. So you ain't being judgmental. You're being biblical. All have sinned. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," not even a Jew. They don't come to the Father except they go through him. We believe that, don't we, in Christianity? We seem to have lost that idea. And we've turned Christianity into this life enhancement, feel good, I'm okay, you're okay. Oh, you like to sleep with men. Oh, you're having sex outside. Oh, that's okay, Jesus left. That's what it's degenerated into. Because why? They said to us, who are you to judge? Judge not, lest you be judged, right? That's where we are. That's where we are. And sadly, it's matriculated, I learned that word, into the political realm. You're not allowed to judge anything anymore. There's something wrong, except in football, they have judges, don't they? They throw flags. Basketball, they have judges. They throw flags. Baseball, what would baseball be like without a judge? Judges balls and strikes. It'd be a chaotic ball game, wouldn't it? And then what else has happened to us? Sorry, John, I got to get this rant out. What else has happened to us is we have put before us, by the way, the judgment of the Lord. When judgment comes, Psalm 11:3, I think it is, although it could be, he blinds the judges. Blinds the judges. Does anybody out there think that you're going to get a fair trial when you go to court? Anybody out there think that? You think the judges aren't bought and paid for? You think the judges aren't political weapons? You think that when the Democrats get in, they don't try to get their judges in power? You think when the Republicans get in, they try to get their judges in power? And wouldn't it be good? I wonder why when Bill Dunphy, when he had to go to court before he went to jail, I wonder why he didn't walk in there and the first thing he should have said to the court is, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Right? That's where we are. Ray calls them activist judges. Yeah, they're put in there to do what it is they're supposed to do. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. That's what's going on everywhere we look. And until we as Christians understand and articulate to our friends that this is a spiritual war, it's not Republican, it's not there. The world is full of wicked Republicans, all right? It's full of wicked Democrats. Because why? Full of wicked people. Full of wicked people. And I'll never forget somebody, I don't remember who it was. It'll come to me. I remember who it was. TD Fakes.
Ooh.
I remember TD Fakes said something one time. I never forgot. I was at World Harvest Church. And TD Fakes said, you think temptation is strong when you're poor. Wait till you're rich. Mm-hmm. That's the truth, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? What will you do if you got, boy, if you can pull the levers and you can get rich and you can get fat and nobody will know it and the government will cover for you and your party will cover for you and the courts will cover for you. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. Because why? The church no longer demands judgment.
Right.
Let justice roll down like a mighty river. Mercy follows judgment. Is that Amos? Amos? Look that up real quick, Spencer. I'll give you $5. Amos, let justice roll down like a mighty river. See if you can find that. I'm going to turn this over to John Diamond here. Hang on with me a second. Let justice come. I'm not going to open it up to anybody yet, Martin. I'm not going to go anywhere yet. Amos, let justice roll down like a mighty river. That's a, by the way, that's at Abraham Lincoln. That's on Abraham Lincoln's Lincoln Memorial. But that judgment, not mercy. Not mercy. The judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. We live in a culture and society where we do not demand righteousness of our leaders. Agree with that?
Absolutely.
That's why we're in the mess that we're in.
Yeah, I think Isaiah 59, I think it is, but it says the truth has fallen in the streets, and like five times in that whole passage, there was no justice, there was no justice, there was no justice.
Lord saw it.
Over and over again. Yeah. And the church doesn't preach on justice.
Does not. There's James 2. Thanks, Spencer. That's in $2. I'll send it to you. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that shall show no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. That's the whole gospel. I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I am a wicked sinner. I deserve death. Please forgive me. And then mercy follows. Until you admit that you're lost, you ain't gonna be found. You get it? And what's the message that we give people in Christianity? We say God loves you. God loves you. I see street preachers. God loves you. No. God's angry with you, dude. He's angry with the wicked. This is Bible, Spencer. Can you find that? God's angry with the wicked every day. You say, well, Coach, I'm not wicked. Oh yeah, you aren't. You're not wicked. Some of the things that you do, you're not wicked. Well, you better know this. God doesn't love you. Oh, he does. It's available to you. Baby. He's angry with the wicked every day. Can you find that, Jeff? Can you find that, Spencer? And we'll take that $2 back if you don't find it. Huh? God is angry with the wicked every day. Not the gospel you hear in your church, is it? No, God wants to bless you and make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Right? Psalm 7:11, he says, huh? What? No, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day.
You mean God doesn't love everybody all the time?
Anybody got an eraser? Can we erase that out of there? Can we take Psalm 11 out of the Bible?
We can redact it. Get a black marker. Redact it.
God is angry with the wicked every day. All right, I'm going to shut up. I'm not rolling good here. I don't know if you know this or not. John's been working for the John Birch Society. And again, I'm not giving a full-throated endorsement of the John Birch Society, but there's more to John Diamond than the John Birch Society. John's originally from Columbus. John and I go way back, huh, John?
On 2003.
Way back when we first locked arms. And he's been fighting the war in obscurity. He's written books. Give us some of your books here, John. I'm sorry we don't have one up there. What's
Fighting the Next American Revolution.
When did you write that?
2006.
2006, Fighting the Next American Revolution, 2006. Yep. By the way, that would be prophetic, they call that. Go ahead.
And then An Appeal to Heaven.
An Appeal to Heaven.
And that was 2012.
So John was an author and just trying to do whatever the heck he could do, and then he got hired by the John Birch Society, and we're going to dig into that a little bit. To know this, that there is at least somebody fighting back against it. But I elbowed John this morning, and I said, what's the fruit, man? Where's the fruit? There it is. John Diamond's book, right? John, good. I'm going to give you another dollar, Spencer. John Diamond, An Appeal to Heaven, Fighting the Next American Revolution. Written when? When, John, did you write that?
2003.
So this would be a little bit of what we would call a guy with a prophetic unction. All right. Okay, so I'm going to shut up here for a minute. I'm going to let John just start rattle a little bit. John, I don't know if you want to talk about the John Birch Society, if you want to. Where's the beef? I would say, okay, where's the beef? But more directly or more importantly, what the hell do we need to do?
All right, well, Spence, you got that JBS.org up there. I want to show this one video. This is what I've been telling them since they brought me on from the beginning. They've been doing this for 60 years. The reason that we don't have a total socialist communist government right now is because of the John Birch Society working behind the scenes. There's a saying, you know, first they ignore you and then they fight you and then you win. They ignore us. They do not want to even bring the name up if they can possibly help it, just because it points them to the truth. And we're going to show a little 5-minute video. We just created this here with General Flynn and Steve Bannon and Ron Paul and Alex Jones. A lot of people who have understood that the John Birch Society, I've only been with them for 2 years, have been doing this for years. Their main thing was get us out of the UN and end the Federal Reserve. That was their two big ones.
In the Federal Reserve, huh?
In the Federal Reserve.
Gotta be careful though, because we're going to go to Bitcoin and digital money. Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's one of our projects. No CBDCs. We've got those two campaigns. We got support your local police, because they want to nationalize all the police under federal control. We got the war on farmers. We got the war on children. I mean, whatever your niche is, whatever you care about, we have a program that'll help you get plugged in to try to the war on farmers.
See, the left hates Trump because he's acting like them. Have you picked up on that yet? They hate him, calling him a dictator, because they want to be dictator. Huh? They want to be dictator. And where I grew up, out here in the woods, mom taught me you fought fire with fire, right? Fought fire with fire. But we don't want to do that. We think we can vote our way into liberty. And how's that working out for you? I'm sorry, John. It is my show, though, right?
Yep, you got it.
So I can interrupt anytime I want.
So, Spence, if we could, just show that Boldly Defending Freedom video, please.
But a lot of credit has to go to those individuals and those groups that kept the spirit alive.
What would America and the world be like without Mr. Welch and without the John Birch Society? And I mean, they were Americans, they were academics, they were veterans, they were former intelligence people, they were patriots, and they saw it and they fought back.
Many of our friends are so very busy enjoying the good life. But I think too many of our friends and neighbors have not been willing to take the time and make the effort to protect the system that allows the good life to be possible. The John Birch Society was founded to build an informed electorate and to reverse that problem. And it has been the most successful organization of its kind in the world.
And a tremendous campaign was launched in December of 1960.
They killed this guy, by the way.
To discredit the John Birch Society.
Let me just tell you what Newsweek says. That says this: the John Birch Society considers communism only one arm of a master conspiracy in which socialist American insiders are plotting to establish world government.
You know, that kind of silly, asinine statement is what makes people laugh. That's the John Birch Society.
Reason, you are looking at a group that has
reason. When was this, John? You think? How long? What year was this? Maybe.
Yeah, I've had to be probably in the '80s.
Probably in the '80s.
Yeah, it was 83. I just went in the Air Force, and he was a Democrat congressman, I believe, from Georgia, and they just made him president of the John Birch Society. They invited him over to Korea for a ceremony by himself, not the state. He got on a commercial airline, and the Russians shot down Korean Air Flight, I believe. Wow. It was 800, and took this guy out because the impact he was.
So, folks, don't miss this, okay? I'm sorry, Jack. Don't miss this. Notice how hostile the interviewer is. Why is it that they're not hostile with the left? They're always hostile with what we would call the right, even though that's a fake paradigm anyway, right? So this guy, they killed this guy. Go ahead.
Enjoying.
To tell you, there's not a...
On the road to world government. And certainly you're familiar with local professor Carol Quigley, who has been part of your club, in which he admitted all this. And he said in his book, Tragedy and Hope, the only thing I disagree is that we've worked to keep it a secret.
We've been talking about the Constitution. One of the things I really admire about the John Birch Society is you understand the power and importance of the Constitution and the power and importance of the state's powers of Constitution, which is, I spent half my year living in Europe, and I have to tell you, there's not a country in Europe that wouldn't just do anything if their country had the state powers of a constitution that we enjoy here.
John Birch Society's published dozens of books that I personally read that have the quotes from proto-globalists 100 years ago. Then I went and actually UT Library and got many of the books were there. I wanted to see it for myself. And that's why you have such an attack on America.
Because if you think the pressure on you now is bad, you ain't seen nothing. They're coming at you like you've never seen before. They're going to make your work environment toxic. They're going to make your community toxic. All of it. There's a lot of elements. Just go back and look at the John Birchers. A lot of things they said, and kind of, it sounds a lot more true than some of the other stuff that was put out there. Just saying.
You know, it's really rather easy.
Freeze it. I grew up here in Hebron, Ohio, where a local pharmacist was head of the John Birch Society, and he put a great big sign out in front of his house: "Impeach Earl Warren." Who was Earl Warren? Earl Warren was the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. The John Birch Society said, "We got to get rid of that dude because he's going to take us down the communist road." That was my first knowledge of the John Birch Society. That'd have been 63, 64, maybe. Go ahead.
Once every 4 years to put a bumper sticker on for 2 weeks. I think that's why it's so appealing. It doesn't require any great deal of understanding or commitment. But to those individuals who are willing to take a look in the background of the issues and take a look at the voting and the representation of their representative in the Congress and in their senator, these are the individuals who deserve the great praise, and that requires a lot of hard work day in and day out, not just at election time. But once again, the Congress is the key.
We didn't create this country on a 3-day weekend. We created it by a lot of sacrifice. John Birch was another example of sacrifice, and he didn't know that this was going to be created. He did it because he loved his country, and he knew what his duty was.
The majority of what you see Trump doing is my playbook, Ron Paul's playbook, J. Edward Griffin's playbook, Charlotte Isherby's playbook, Anthony Sutton's playbook, Senator Barry Goldwater's playbook, the John Birch Society playbook. And they're the real OGs. everything they wrote 60, 70, 40 years ago, it was all dead on 100% accurate about the New World Order. They gave us the blueprint of the enemy operation. And because of the tireless work of folks going back into the 50s and 60s and on through today, but it was really the John Birch Society that stood up the first citizen army to expose this tirelessly, they created the seed of the giant mighty oak you see right now, globally.
Our danger is both immense and imminent. All we must find and build and use to win is sufficient understanding. Let's create that understanding and build that resistance with everything mortal men can put into the effort while there still is time.
Is there time? That's the question, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, John, there's your jumping off point. We'll get to you in a second here, Paul. Hang on.
All right, so I'd encourage you to go to jbs.org and just look that stuff up. There's one section, you can Google it. It's called Myths versus Facts. A lot of the questions that you might have and a lot of the lies that have been told can be addressed there. We're definitely not going to have time on an hour show, but we're going to deal with the most important thing right now, and what's called the Convention of States. Spence, can you put their website up real quick?
John, if you look right in there, you'll be looking right at them.
Where?
Right in there.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Just I don't know if I'm sorry if I didn't send you the link. Just go to just Convention of States.
And Real ID, you're going to talk about that too, I hope. Go ahead.
The Convention of States, there it is right there. Convention of States is basically calling for a constitutional convention. Now, those of you who know the Constitution, Article 5, there's two ways to amend the Constitution. You can either tack an amendment on the end, like we've done 27 times since the founding of this nation, or you can call for a full-blown constitutional convention.
To rewrite the Constitution.
To rewrite the Constitution. There is, they keep talking about a limited convention. Read Article 5 for yourself. There is no provisions in the Constitution for an article for a limited convention. I just had several meetings with state reps over in Pennsylvania, and one of the guys sponsored the bill, and he said, you know, well, this is just about term limits, or this is just about physical spending. And I'm like, that's the carrot that they're using, guys. You have to understand. So I went back and I took him through a little bit of history. I'm going to abbreviate this as much as I can just for the sake of time. I said, do you understand the Articles of Confederation? He said, well, just a little bit. I said, 1777, the Articles of Confederation were the very first constitution. It was signed by 13 states, and Article 13 of the Articles of Confederation said this document cannot be amended without unanimous consent of all 13 states. In 1783, we won our independence. They signed the Treaty of Paris, and the king, when he signed the treaty and wrote on it, he says he acknowledges that these are sovereign, independent states. But he doesn't say America is an independent, sovereign country. He says Pennsylvania, Maryland, New York. He lists
Ohio.
That's 1803.
Oh, the original ones.
The original 13. All right. And he acknowledges each and every one, basically independent countries, sovereign countries. They have nobody ruling over them. Well, there was some shortcomings in the Articles of Confederation. They decided to call for a constitutional convention in 1787. The problem was unanimous consent. Rhode Island wrote what was called the Rhode Island Resolution, and they said, hey, guys, we don't know why you're meeting, but we're not coming. So everything you do is going to be, you know, illegal, unjustified. But they did it anyway, because they were like, look, we are sovereign. There is nobody who has any authority over us other than God. No power over us, no government. So why would we create a federal government, even if we're only going to give them a small handful of power? Why would we create that? Because they know that they're just going to enlarge that over a period of time.
Free and independent states. Isn't that what it says?
That's exactly
John?
What
okay,
it is.
Go ahead.
Free and independent states. So they called a constitutional convention anyway. They came together. In the constitutional convention, you can change all the rules. And that's what they did. They changed all the rules in the new constitutional convention. And then they said, we only need 9 of the 13 states to ratify
this. What could
this.
Go wrong, huh? What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing that you have to be very clear on is they can change the rules once that's in place. That has not been used since. As a matter of fact, Madison actually said after what he witnessed, and he was the father of the Constitution. He was the secretary recording it. You can talk about his notes. He was like, I hope to never see that again. He goes, because, you know, we don't have the scholars we had back then. There's nobody you're going to get, very few people in America.
We're politicians, not scholars.
Yeah, we need statesmen is what we need.
Yep.
And we had statesmen. We have politicians now that are corrupt and greedy and just want to expand their own power. So let's fast forward to the, let me take this. When they came out of the Constitutional Convention, they passed it, but they only passed it with a 39-16 vote. Well, those were our first two political parties, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. It wasn't the Democrats and the Republicans. The first four or five elections were Federalists versus Anti-Federalists. So when they went out there, they still had to ratify it among the states. So you had the Federalist Papers.
So hang on. So you slow learners, Federalist means federal government, right? Understand that? The Federalists wanted big overarching government. That's what the Federalists want. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Federal.
Yep, and there were several plans, the New Jersey plan, and then ultimately they came to a compromise. But what they ended up having was the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. And they realized that they weren't going to get this ratified by the states. The states were never going to ratify this unless there was a Bill of Rights. So that's how we got the first 10 Amendment. Congress shall have no power to this, this, and this. They wanted to tie the hands. If we're going to give you a Constitution, we're going to further tie your hands. And that's what ended up happening. If you read the Federalist Papers, they were basically prophetic. Everything they said would happen if you create a federal government has happened. And I think it was Patrick Henry, who was one of the leading anti-federalists. And there's a quote in my book. He said something to the effect that if the consolidation of this government becomes as dangerous to this country as it has to others, the federal government will swallow up the states.
All right, you're getting us in the weeds. We get it. We get it. The federal government became too big. It wasn't supposed to be like that. Hey, John, what are we going to do about it, huh? Well, ain't time somebody done something. Everybody in here probably understands pretty much what's wrong. They can't articulate it maybe, but they get it. Something's wrong here, man. Something's wrong with the federal government. By the way, did you guys see this? Now, Nancy Pelosi set up the whole J6 thing, refused the National Guard, and the head of the D.C. Capitol Police came out yesterday and said, she's lying. She's lying. I was waiting for her to give us permission to bring in the National Guard. She wouldn't do it. My opinion, that's a capital offense. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi should hang public. That's what I think. Go ahead, John.
All right.
That's what happens when you get a government that is so powerful that the overarching, overreaching, every aspect of American society, we should be answering here in Ohio to Columbus, not to the feds. And that's what's happened to us. Go ahead, John.
So there's two ways that are proposed. John Birch Society proposes a way. It's called nullification, which basically just says if the federal government doesn't have the authority to do it by the Constitution, the states just tell them to go pound salt.
That's right.
And that happened early as back as the Alien and Sedition Act. I mean, the anti-federalists said if you give these people power, they're going to suppress all your rights. No more was the ink dry on the Constitution. That the Adams administration files the Alien Sedition Act, which was passed by Congress, signed by the president, and the Supreme Court.
All right, let me reel you back in. Now we're getting caught in the weeds. We only got a half hour left here, right? So we understand what's going on. The government has way more power than what they should have, and the convention of the states will give them more power because they'll get their own people in there and we'll have less, right? You understand what's going on, right? Okay, John, what do we do?
So there's two ways. Nullification, and you can go to JBS and just look up nullification. It's just where the states tell the federal government to go pound salt. You don't have the authority to do this. That's the solution. Nullification is the key to restraining in a federal government. What they want to do is they want to basically rewrite the Constitution. Now, the problem that we have here, if they're not following the Constitution we have now, what makes you think they're going to follow any new Constitution? They're not. They don't really care about any restraints on their power. So I want to show you the constitutions that are being...
Can you trust anybody that's not a really true Christian? I mean, really, can you be bought? Can you be bought? And we have people who are in positions of power who obviously are already bought. You understand where we are, folks? Go ahead, John.
So what we have is, Spence, if you can bring up the National Constitution Center. Now, this is the one right in Philly, and it says right in it, it says that, you know, We've got to celebrate the greatest version of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. Well, if this is the greatest document ever written in human history, then why are they trying to change it? The U.S. Constitution Center. All right, they've got a thing called the Constitution Drafting Project. You got the link to that? Right there it is. This is the U.S. This is the National Constitution Center. They got the Constitution Drafting Project. Scroll down just a little bit.
So they're drafting a new one for us.
Yeah, they're drafting three. So right there, stop where you're at. The Constitution Drafting Project brings together scholars.
To create their
document. Yeah, so you've got the Libertarian Constitution, the Progressive, and the Conservatives. We're not going to deal with the Libertarian because, I mean, the Progressive and the Conservatives, the Democrats and Republicans, and they run everything.
I'm noticing this, John. Law schools, right? Brooklyn Law School, Georgetown Law School, Columbia Law. Oh, that's what we need. We need those lawyers doing it for us. Go ahead.
So if you click on, go ahead and click on the Progressive Constitution, Spence. And I'm going to read, I sent over in your notes, I think you can look at the page number that I gave you if you click on it. All I do when I give this speech, I don't go, these are fully written constitutions, fully written, just like ours. All I do is show people the First and Second Amendment, because in many people, they believe that this is the most important ones. So let me read the First Amendment in the Progressives. Talking about freedom of religion, it says no one shall. So ours says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or preventing the free exercise thereof. That's it. No authority whatsoever. The new Constitution says
fourth sentence from the bottom. No one shall
be subject to coercion which would impair his freedom to have or adopt a religious belief or choice. Freedom to manifest one's religious beliefs may be subject to only such limitations are described by law. Our Constitution says Congress shall make no law. This new Constitution, it says now they can limit religious
freedom. They're going to make a law.
They're going to then make law. It says are necessary to protect public safety, order, health, and the moral and the fundamental rights and freedoms of others. What does that tell you? Well, you got reproductive health care.
Well, morals are relative, aren't they? Relative to protect the morals. Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Moral relativism.
Everything that they did and all the churches that stayed open during COVID, they had the authority to stay open because Congress had no government had the authority to close you down.
Okay, keep going because I'm going to get some questions in here. I'm not trying to hurt you.
And then the Second Amendment, if you scroll down right there to the Second Amendment, the right of the people to keep and bear arms is subject to reasonable regulation by the United States and the states.
New Constitution, they're getting ready for you, folks.
All right. So you can look at these yourself. I won't go with them. The conservative one. The conservative one isn't any better. The conservative one says you can basically have hunting rifles and pistols, but you can't have anything like AR-15s. You can't have anything that would oppose.
So this is where a convention of states will take us, folks. You understand that? It's a rewriting of the Constitution with godless lawyers, elected officials in positions of, you understand that? That's what we're looking at, right? Huh? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. Don't lose sight. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Freedom, liberty. Yep. Where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, what's the opposite of liberty?
Bondage.
Huh? Bondage.
Slavery.
Where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there's bondage. So, folks, they told us that there was a separation between the church and state to keep Christians out of government. So they could run it and restrict Christianity. Mm-hmm. Come on, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. All right, now look, John's got a million things to talk about. We're going to open it up. Tell us your story, not your life story. And we'll go from there. You ready, John?
Cool.
Okay, Dr. Paul, you're up. Come on in.
Who is John Birch? I mean, in all of it.
Hey, John Birch was a missionary over in China. And then when the war started, he wrote to the army and said, hey, I'm willing to help. Well, he said, I wanted to be some kind of religious figure. They said, we've got chaplains. We need intelligence officers. So since he knew the language, he knew the lay of the land. You can actually look, I think there's a video on our website that says the story of John Birch. It's only 5 minutes, but they brought him in, and he rescued the Flying Tigers, the ones that bombed Japan, or I mean China, yeah, Japan, they had to crash. They crashed in China. He went in and he rescued all of them. They were so impressed with him, they gave him a battlefield commission and made him a lieutenant and an intelligence officer. He was the first casualty of the Cold War because China was being split between the pro-West China and the communists, Mao Zedong and Chiang Kai-shek. And unfortunately, we supported the wrong regime. That's why they have communism in China right now, is because of Alger Hiss. That's a whole long story in itself. But Robert Welch was kind of like he was a billionaire, and he got a bunch of other billionaires together, and they found out that John Birch was actually killed by communists, went to his parents and said, can we name this organization after the first martyr, really, of the Cold War? And his parents agreed, and they joined, and Robert Welch was carrying the organization for another 40 years after that.
So there's the John Birch.
He was a minister. 27 years old. He did.
Say it again, buddy. I'm sorry. I walked on you.
He was 27 years old, wasn't he, when he was killed?
Yep. He was just a missionary. Went to China.
Yes, he was a godly man.
Amen. Amen. Cool. Somebody come on in. Doors open. Walk in. Yes, Mel. Come on in, Mel.
Hey, John. So good to see you this morning.
Hey, good to see you.
So I wanted to ask you, when you're talking about nullification as, you know, the proper approach, isn't that covered in the 10th Amendment?
9th and 10th, yes. And that's why we actually, there's a thing, organization called the 10th Amendment Center that's all they focus on is the 10th Amendment and nullification. But yeah, and the 10th Amendment says any power not designated to the federal government by this document is reserved to the states and to the people. So that's why you have to understand, we got to look at the Constitution, and if the federal government doesn't have the authority to do it, our states write nullification bills and say, we're not going to do that.
So, Spencer, real quickly, pull up the First Amendment. Paul Webb's going to get in there and say, daggone, Paul's still out there. Good to see you, Paul. Hang on a second. First Amendment of the Constitution, please make this connection in your mind, all right? There it is, First Amendment. Go back. Congress shall make no law. Hang on. Congress makes laws. Courts don't make laws. Presidents don't make laws. Congress shall make no law, an establishment of a religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to go to Washington, D.C. and petition the government for a redress of grievances. So what happened? They had to turn it into a violent insurrection because clearly the people had the right to peaceably assemble. And those of us who were there know it was peaceable assembly. And whoever the 280 FBI agents that were embedded inside that thing, right, violated our right to peaceably assemble to petition our government for a redress of grievances. Now, John, for the slow learners out there, what is a redress of grievances? What does that mean?
Well, it basically just means that you are violating your oath, you're violating the law, you're violating the Constitution, and we have the right to come and bring that.
We're upset about it. We're grieved about it.
And you have to answer to why you're doing
that. Yeah. And so it's right there in the First Amendment of the Constitution. And Nancy Pelosi, she organized to make it violent. Oh, I got it right. I'm not going to show it right now. I got it right here. She did it for sure. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Spencer, do it real quickly. I got all of you coming in there. Hang on. Go to, it says us, Thursday stuff, John Solomon. Pull that up there for me real quick, Spence. Hang on, folks. I'm kind of missing it. We're not going to read it. Well, here it is. John Solomon just dropped a bombshell that should shake every American to the core. According to his new investigation, congressional investigators quietly seized and analyzed more than 30 million phone data from you and me when we went to Washington, D.C. What? Without a warrant. They tracked this, huh? Oh, yeah, folks, this is so wicked. Paul Webb, come on in.
Hey, Coach, great show. A couple things. You know, growing up, when I heard about John Birch Society, it was always, well, they're a racist organization. That's the word they always use for people that try to make sense anyway. But also, too, John, would you say that what's happening, I didn't get to listen to all the part you talking about the Constitution, is the Constitution was designed to keep the government out the lives of the people, but now they're kind of reversing it now to where the government is in charge, running the lives of the people. I mean, in other words, it's what the government can't do, to us is what the Constitution is supposed to be, but what they're doing is trying to reverse it.
So, Paul, so when we go to Washington, D.C., Nancy Pelosi weaponizes the government against the people and the right to peacefully assemble. You understand what's going on, folks?
Oh, yeah. There was a short I saw about her the other day. This reporter was asking her, Nancy, Ms. Pelosi, do you want to apologize to people for January 6th of all the stuff that she did, you know? And she sat there, you shut up.
Oh, yeah, she went crazy.
I'm like, you know.
Hey, she had photographers in there. Did you guys know that? They had photographers in there on J6 to document the uprising, which was staged by 270 FBI agents under Alex. What a freaking world. Good to hear from you, Paul. Dave Allison, go ahead. Speak up if you want to.
John, great to see you this morning. Hey, so the current situation that's going on in the blue states, so you have governors that imported hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of illegals into their states willingly and wantonly. And so now there's total chaos in the cities, and the people find themselves with limited means to stand up what they see as blatantly wrong. The cities are burning, the crime's going crazy. And so now the federal government says, hey, we're going to step in and control that constitutionally. Going back to the powers of the states decided we wanted to destroy this state, make a total abomination. And that's what they want. But yet the federal government is now coming in saying that. So constitutionally, where are we at with that, John?
Well,
it's a great question, Bob. It is,
absolutely. I encourage everybody to watch our video called Overview of America. It's a 30-minute video. It's probably the best thing you'll ever watch. What the enemy does is they come in, and Hitler did it. We did it in the 1930s here. What they do is they bring this anarchy. And then what they do is they say, hey, bring us in. We'll solve the problem. Well, of course you'll solve the problem. You're the one that created the problem. And you always have to just be careful. Is the solution to give more power to the federal government? And that's what you always have to ask is, are they looking for an enlargement of power? Now, me and Coach were talking about this before the show. There was no federal oversight of the National Guard. If you remember the Civil War, what'd you have? The 18th Ohio and the 27th Virginia. All the militias, all the National Guards were state controlled. They were not at all controlled by the federal government. It was in 1903, what they called the Dick Act. There was a senator called Senator Dick from Ohio. That was the very first time that they began to nationalize the National Guard and putting them under DC rather than under state control. And they've had another one in like 1933. All these acts, one of the most dangerous things that we can have is the federalizing of local police officers or even National Guard. Because if one side will do it, the other side will do it.
So what Trump's doing is dangerous.
Because if the left gets in there and Biden goes in there, now I'm throwing all the J6ers in jail. Anybody that was there, you're going to jail for insurrection. Anti-abortion protesters. You know, we're going to throw you in jail.
Trading one form of tyranny for another.
That's exactly right. So you got to be very, 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 very cautious whenever you're giving, even if it's a good thing, you know, that we would call a good thing. Okay, good. They're getting all the illegals out of the country. They're doing all of this stuff. You got to ask how much of this stuff was staged, like the 1930s. All those gangsters, Bugsy Malone and all of them, that was all staged because they wanted to create a federal government, FBI and a CIA. So they said, oh, we don't have the manpower here in Chicago to deal with all this violence. Please create an FBI and send them in and help end this thing. Well, the people that created it are the best ones suited to end it, right? And they just betray the people that they funded to do it.
Bought them off and all that stuff, right?
And now where are we at with the FBI now? Where are we at with, you know, with what they did to everybody on J6?
Elliot Ness and the Untouchables, well, that's all. I mean, it was propaganda. Real,
it was all propaganda. You know, the FBI, and they'd show all these TV shows about how the FBI is so great and doing great things when it's all unconstitutional. Any of those three-digit agencies are not authorized by the Constitution. FBI, CIA, IRS, you know, OSHA. I don't care who it is.
The Fed.
They're all unconstitutional breaches on power. And any time you take the power out of the states and you put it in a federal government hand, just like Patrick Henry said, they're going to swallow up the states.
Okay, take a breath. Alan, come on in.
I just want to make a statement, Coach. You know, anti-Christ has a conception of what that even means. Anti-Christ means instead of Christ. So the government's going to implement itself as God instead of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Hey, Alan, I tell people this over and over and over. I got my eye on Trump, okay? I got my eye on Trump. Donald Trump is not a saved man. I don't know if you saw this the other day, yesterday, 2 days ago. He wanted to restore, what, save heaven or something unbelievable. He hopes that he can do enough good things to get into heaven. So we have to understand we're dealing with an unregenerated man who maybe thinks he's a Christian. I don't think he is.
Coach, you know, everything he's doing, Musk is doing, the Antichrist beast system is going to take it and run with it. I mean, it's a setup, and he's not doing it for evil, but it's just like this cell phone I'm talking on. I can use it for good or use it for evil.
Neutral, right? That's right.
Like John said, if Biden gets back in there, he's going to be doing the same thing Trump's doing, but against the church. And that's what's coming, boys.
That's right.
Amen. They'll be sending the FBI here. They'll be sending the National Guard here to get Coach Dave because he's speaking anti-government. See where it goes, folks? Don't lose sight of this. Don't lose seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that the natural man, that would be him and me without Christ. All right? Donald Trump is a natural man. And he receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he. If he's not born again of the Spirit of God, he's just trying to, in his own mind, in his own moral training, in his own moral upbringing, trying to do what he thinks is the right thing to do. All you got to do is listen to Trump, and he'll tell you he ain't saved. He ain't saved. I think he'd like to be, but he isn't. But remember, God raises up kings, and God sets down kings, and you cannot deny that Donald Trump is right now God's man. Whether for good or whether for bad, we don't know. Jeff Klein, come on in. Sorry, man. Just jumping in here. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, good to see old John this morning and listen to him. It's been a couple of years since we got together. I forget where that was we met. Just the wealth of knowledge he has. I enjoy listening to him. Here's just an idea I'm going to throw on the table.
Wouldn't you think he'd be in a church pulpit every Sunday? Wouldn't you think? Are they inviting me in, John?
Very few of them.
Go ahead.
Well, that's why I think what we need to do is maybe for a little while here, for rest of October, maybe November, get John in once a week. This stuff he's got is, I love listening to him and just the knowledge he's got. And he's got a bunch more, but maybe we'll bring him in as a guest once in a while just to give us the knowledge on this Constitution and against this corrupt government, what we need. You know what I mean? I pick up the Constitution, look at it, but I can't make heads or tails of it sometimes. But when John explains it, it's an enlightening. I appreciate it.
Jeffy, can you imagine what they're teaching our kids in schools? Folks, can you imagine? Are they learning this stuff?
No.
They're certainly not learning this stuff.
And that's why we need John to teach us, and then we'll teach you. Just carry it on.
That's right.
And that's why I wrote that book, Fighting the Next American Revolution.
20
years ago. I mean, I basically said, here's the government that was created. Here's where we're at now. How did we get from there to here? And that's what I do. I walk you right through American history to show you the Marbury-Madison Act of 1803, the 14th Amendment, Supreme Court ruling, separation of church and state. That's how we got from here to here. It was usurpation. One little tiny move after another over 250 years.
David Arthur asked before, what's the difference between voting for voter ID and real ID? Do you have any comment on that, John, at all?
No, I mean, the digital ID, you definitely don't want, especially the biometric one. Now, I mean, I had to go to my white mom's funeral in Florida over the summer, and I had to go get a driver's license with the real ID on it. That's just a step, again, in the wrong direction. Amen. But ultimately, they want to get it so it's biometric. That's what all those vaccine passports were all about. They want you basically chipped so they know where you're at. They're going to have it tied to your banking and your CBDCs once they get rid of the dollar. And that you're only going to be able to spend it outside of a 15-mile radius.
By the way, silver to the moon today. I don't know if you guys saw that. Silver and gold to the moon. Do what you want to do. Just give you fair warning. Go back to... where did I have it? John Solomon, pull that back up again. It says stuff Thursday, October 6th. Pull that up again. What is it he's talking about? They, folks, 30 million lines of data. Already they're getting, if you were a J6, they have been in your cell phone. You understand that, folks? You understand that? That's spying. Spying. Government-approved spying.
Patriot Act.
The Patriot Act. Oh, thank you, George. Christian George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on in, somebody. Got an open door. Walk on in.
Good morning. You better keep your eyes on this Vic Swamy, because he's Hindu. And he's running for Ohio State Senator. So.
Ramaswamy. Vic Ramaswamy, a Hindu, running for governor of Ohio with the support of conservative Christian. What do you think about that, John? Are you familiar with that, Vivek Ramaswamy? He's going to be our governor. He's a Hindu.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it two ways. The Jailbird Society brought me on because I was a theologian first, and they wanted to bring back the spiritual aspect of why the nation was founded, not just the kind of libertarian constitutional. You know, what as an American, Americanism is the Declaration of Independence. That's what I call the heart. The Constitution is just the rib cage that protects the Declaration of Independence.
Declaration is the heart, and the Constitution is the rib cage. That's a great picture.
It's called the American Statement of Faith. This is what we believe. There's a God. He created us. He gave us our rights. Government's job is to protect those rights. When they don't do it, it's our job and our duty to kick them out and replace them with somebody that will protect.
And when you go
rights.
To Washington D.C., they put FBI agents in there and make it look like it's violent, so that you can't redress your grievances. That way, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, folks, what a wicked, wicked. What's that word say? It'll come to me. Go ahead, Jeff Klein.
Coach, as you were just saying, here's my thoughts. You can take it for what it's worth, but so you got Mamdani going to be the next governor or the mayor in New York. That's cool.
Citizens of America going to vote for a communist. Go ahead.
Yep. And now you got Ramaswamy, Hindu. And then I look at DeWine. He's a snake. We had a Republican in there. He's horrible.
He's
so
a snake.
We need John Diamond to teach us more of the Constitution so we can start gearing up against all these evil idiots, because we don't have a clue.
No. Hey, Jeff, our elected officials don't have a clue, right? Hey, I don't know if Glenn's out there. Glenn, let me, because Glenn's on the Central Committee. Glenn's always out there. You there, Glenn?
I'm here.
Hey, Glenn, just kind of curious here. What do you suppose the odds are of the Republican committee that you're part of endorsing me for any position? What do you think the odds of that would be, Glenn?
Right now, very slim.
Right? So good people can't get elected, folks, because they've created a system. They've created a big, big bubble system. Johnny, come on in.
Hey, good morning. I'm just sitting here listening to all this, and I'm wondering, how do we plant a seed in our own community with the education that I'm getting today? That's where I'm at a loss. What can I do?
Here's where you start. Spence, can you pull up jbs.org again? And we just created a brand new course at the very top. It says right there in red, right above the video, Blueprint for Liberty. Just watch all the dangers of democracy. I mean, this is what we do. We're an educational institution and an intelligence organization. We rise up. I mean, guys, all you have to do is basically get the ear of your state rep. That's what we are being so successful in doing. They wanted Agenda 20, 30 years ago, right? In the 70s and 80s, it was Agenda 21 back then. We so stalled it. Now they push it back to Agenda 2030. But they are between the Project 2025, which is dangerous from the Heritage Foundation that wants to basically centralize power in the hands of Trump or any executive. And I think that's, you better watch.
Okay, shut up a minute, John. So, John, are we a democracy, which Nancy Pelosi tells us all the time?
No, we are a constitutional republic.
We're a constitutional republic. And do you think that just she's by accident calling a democracy?
They know. They know.
And so they want to convince you that we are a democracy, which we don't even know what that is. When in fact, we are a constitutional republic, which means what? We elect people who represent us. We're not a democracy. It's not majority rule. It's never been majority rule. And they're fighting really, really hard with the convention of states. You can bet that's what they're going to come up with, majority rule, because then they can cheat. Oh, we're finding out that too, aren't we? The 2020 election was stolen. We're finding out all this stuff. Lorraine, quickly.
Can I pray? Because my head's spinning right now.
Can you pray?
Yeah, because we need to pray. I mean, we need prayer with action. Okay, but Lord God, Abba, in Jesus' name, Lord God, your name is hope, because based on the conversations that we're hearing and exposing this truth, it looks like there's no hope, and that's what Satan wants us to do and believe. So, Lord God, all these lies, let us focus on heaven. We're coming into your war room. Your kingdom come here on earth. Let us be able to see the land, in the land of the living instead of the dead. And Almighty God, David was this little guy, no pun intended, but this is what I think you just told me. But David was hanging out, coaching some sheep and some to let them know when there was lions and bears and tigers. Oh my. And Lord God, you called this little guy up and he wound up being king. So Almighty God, it seems hopeless going up against the Goliath of, you know, this political system, because it's Goliath and his brothers. Coach Dave, as Judd brought up, bring it. He doesn't need the backing of the political party when he has the backing of the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Let his focus be there. And his paraclete and his battle buddy is his wife. And let them go to war in their prayer room together as they wipe one another's tears. Ooh. And the locker room smells and there's a stench. Mm. But you are that sweet smelling aroma that comes up out of it. And there's hope and there's love and there's grace and there's prayer with action, because even Jesus had to go off and pray. And right now we're in Gethsemane. And the blood is dripping from our tear ducts, and Almighty God, your blood cries out and it covered us, because we are your testimony of Jesus Christ, who is your word, and it is his blood that is our testimony. And Almighty God, you are the one who can turn this around and tear down every serpent stronghold, wicked thing that's raised itself and done nothing's new since the time that Satan blasphemed, lied about you, gossiped about you in heaven, and you want to war to protect heaven. And heaven is here on earth, and those angels have no power unless we give it to them. So Almighty God, give Coach the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that he needs with his beautiful wife, who's his flesh and blood. And Almighty God, if you want him to be the governor, the next governor of Ohio, your will be done. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And that's all.
Declan, my old buddy here. Declan, listen, we got to run here real quick. John, where is it? I saw the most unbelievable video yesterday. I thought it was from you. Alex Jones articulating the gospel to Tucker Carlson. Have you guys seen that? I'm telling you, Alex Jones can clearly articulate the gospel. Say what you want to about him. Say what you want to about him. Tucker was amazed. I don't think Tucker knows the gospel. I think a lot of people who go to church don't really know the gospel. And Alex Jones, InfoWars, which they hate with a passion, he knows the gospel. He understands the gospel. Isn't that something?
Amen.
What a time to be alive. I'll see if I can find it. We'll stick it in the chat somewhere. If you guys, here comes Emmy. They're all coming here. All my grandkids are coming here. This is the brother and sister of our new little, what's her name? What's your Gemma. New sister's name? Gemma's home and well, and we appreciate all the prayers. See you tomorrow.